In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In my grandparents' generation, everyone remembered exactly where they were when they heard the news about the attack on Pearl Harbor. In my parents' generation, everyone knew exactly what they were doing when they heard the news that President Kennedy had been assassinated. And in my generation, everyone remembers where they were and what they were doing when they heard about the terrorist attacks on 9/11. Do you remember that day vividly? Many people do. I certainly do. And for those of us who lived through it 20 years ago, it's very hard to imagine that young people in high school today weren't even born then. My remembrance of that day, I'll bet, is probably a lot like yours. It was a typical Tuesday morning. The church that I served had a Bible study every Tuesday morning. And as people started to come into the church just after 9 o'clock, some of them said that they had heard on the news that a plane had struck one of the towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. I guess, like a lot of people, my first thought was that this was an accident. Perhaps some rookie pilot gone horribly off course. As more people came in later, we heard about the second plane striking the World Trade Center. It seemed clear then that this was a coordinated terrorist attack. In my mind, I immediately imagined more attacks. Maybe this was the beginning of World War III. Maybe Armageddon. What did our Bible study group do that day? We did what we always did. We closed the door, we prayed, and we had our Bible study. When the study was over, the parish secretary came in and updated us on what had been happening, the attack on the Pentagon and the crash of Flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, as well as a lot of rumors, which thankfully turned out not to be true. Still, as we watched the events unfold throughout the day, it was horrifying, all the death and destruction. Those verses from our psalm today seem to describe the scene well. The snares of death encompassed us. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on us. We suffered distress and anguish. Among the many emotions that we were feeling that day were helplessness, maybe hopelessness, as well as anger and a desire for revenge. Where were we to find help and hope and peace? In a crisis, always look for the helpers. That's what Mr. Fred Rogers used to say, and it certainly is good advice. Into the danger in chaos, the first responders courageously rushed in. That the two planes striking the towers were just a few minutes apart was obviously intentional, so that the responders to the first crisis, the fire, police, EMT, and others, would be casualties of the second, making the namesake date and the emergency phone number 911 a sick terrorist joke. An office worker, a survivor, recalled the scene this way. "We walked all the way down the stairs. I heard the firefighters, the cops, and the EMS workers, and all these other men and women in uniforms belching orders. Run, run, run. Do not look up. Do not look back. Just go. Just go." As we were going to safety, we could hear their screams behind us. The building was crumbling. These men and women were sacrificing their lives so we could go to safety. That's what first responders do every day, isn't it? Our natural inclination is to run away from danger. They run toward it. Everyone has a bad day now and then. minor illness, a little fender bender, and we often don't handle it too well emotionally. First responders know that every day they are going to be dealing with problems, other people's problems, not their own, and they are not going to be minor problems, and not handling them well emotionally is not an option. Every day they are going to be working with sick and injured people, with people in trouble or people who are causing trouble or who have suffered the loss of property, maybe even suffered the loss of loved ones. That is a tough calling. It takes a special kind of gift to do that job and to do it consistently and well. Thank God there are some successes for first responders. Fires get put out before too much damage is done. The sick and injured get medical attention and survive. Order is kept and justice is served. Most first responders that I talk to accentuate the good outcomes, and we too need to celebrate the good work that we do. That's part of what we are doing here in our service on September 12th, recognizing their work and lifting them up. The events of 9/11 really brought the work, and I'd call it a ministry, of first responders to the nation's attention, which is where it always should have been. Think about it. If all of the entertainers, if all of the athletes would suddenly stop working, would that really make a big difference in your life? Wouldn't make much difference at all. But if the firefighters and EMT and police went out on strike, that would have a huge negative effect on us. You can be sure of that. It is the mutual characteristic of all first responders that they serve and protect. Many police departments have "to serve and protect" as their motto. Their service comes out of two commitments. One is their commitment to others. They place the safety and the lives of others above their own. The other is their commitment to duty. They pledge to follow a code of conduct and values to which they are faithful, even when it's not convenient, even when it's not comfortable. And sometimes they are called upon to give the last measure of devotion, to make the ultimate sacrifice, to say it plainly, to give up their lives as so many did on 9/11. We might say that the service, the ministry of first responders is Christ-like in that it is self-giving. It is incarnational that God works through them to benefit us, his people. In our gospel reading, we hear how Christ heals. We know how God protects us from danger and guides us in right pathways. Especially we know how Christ gave his life for us, that we might be saved. We might also say that the church is like a spiritual first responder, rushing into the danger and chaos of this earthly life, proclaiming the love of God and the forgiveness of Christ, which is for the world's salvation. Our guidance is the word. Our medicine is the sacrament. The COVID pandemic has brought to light how many other people, often people working in obscurity, are also on the front line of the battle, doing jobs so necessary for our health and well-being. Some of us are first responders all day, every day. Some of us get opportunities to shine God's light in that way at various times. So what can we, as the people of God, do for all our first responders and everyone who serves and protects, all of those frontline people? Two things come to mind. For one, we can encourage, thank, and support them. Being a first responder must be a lonely, anxious, thankless job sometimes. Being appreciative of their efforts and treating them with respect and understanding when we interact with them, even though we ourselves might be having a rotten day, That would go a long way. Just recently, I was in a restaurant at lunchtime, and there were two policemen there having their lunch, and someone anonymously paid for the policemen's lunches as a way of thanking them for their service. Our coffee hour on this Sunday is also in honor of our first responders. And now we know that we can never thank you first responders enough, but hopefully today is a small start. For another, we need to pray for our first responders. Prayer is always the most important, most effective thing that we can do for anyone. As we did at the beginning of the service, we continually pray for our God to guard and guide them. We can pray that He will also give them health and stamina to do their jobs well. And we can pray that God will work through all of us to make the world a safer, more righteous, more peaceful place so that the need for emergency intervention will be lessened. On 9/11, there were many stories of heroism. One was a story of a 68-year-old Franciscan friar and New York City Fire Department chaplain named Father Michael Judge, who responded to the catastrophe at the World Trade Center. As Michael was giving last rites to a dying man, a piece of falling debris struck Father Michael, killing him. As Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friends." A prayer, Father Michael wrote, was found in his pocket. It reads, "Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way." A good prayer for us all. God bless our first responders. God bless us all. Amen.